You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts that your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. That's right, we're a part of the Locked On Network. I'm Andrew Berkshire from the Montreal Gazette, and I'm with Mary Clark from For the Win. We are on Twitter at Andrew Berkshire and at Mary C. Clark. Please follow us there and subscribe to the podcast, Crosscheck NHL Show, on any podcast app that you can think of. We're there. We've got a great show today. We're going to talk to Erica Ayala, who covers the Seattle Kraken. We're going to break down their draft and what the Seattle Kraken's expectations are for this upcoming season. And also, talking about that, we've got the NHL draft coming up on Friday. And on Friday, Locked On is hosting a live draft show that I am hosting with Michael DiStefano from Locked On NHL. Unfortunately, Mary couldn't be there, but Mary is here with us now. How you doing, Mary?
I'm good. We are recording this as the NHL trade freeze. Breaks. You know, the trades are happening. Yeah, unpauses. Trades are happening in the NHL, and if I seem a little checked out, it's because I'm waiting to see the return on what we will talk about is Shane Gostisbehere is likely going to Arizona. But I'm good. I am very sad. I'm gonna miss the live draft show on Friday because I have to work, and it's also the tape delayed opening ceremony for the Olympics. It is just a busy time. It is one thing after another after another. I think I said it on the last podcast. I will be happy when we are at this time next week and I can breathe and it is the hockey off season, but I am very good. It has been expansion draft was fun last night. I mean, I know the picks kind of leaked early, so that kind of ruined a bit of the surprise, but I think it was still a really fun event. I liked ESPN's presentation, since that was the first time we've seen ESPN covering the NHL for the first time in a very, very long time. So I'm good. I'm doing really well. A lot of hockey to talk, though.
There's a lot of stuff going on in general right now. Like you mentioned the Olympics, and we'll have to touch on a few things before we get into the trades, because I think there's some things we can't not talk about. Like, for example, the creator or the director of the opening ceremonies for the Tokyo Olympics was fired yesterday.
Oh, wait, really?
Yes, because they found out that he had done a comedy act. I wasn't clear if it was in his past or if it was part of the actual opening ceremonies that made fun of the Holocaust.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
All right.
So they made that decision and then said yesterday that they were going to review the entire program for the opening ceremonies, are Thursday, today, that we're recording the podcast.
It's actually, it's today. Well, actually, it's Friday morning at 7 a.m.
But it was like less than 24 hours that they've, or a little bit more than 24 hours between them firing him and having to do this opening ceremony, which is insane. This is the most disastrous Olympics that I've ever seen. And we've had one where a guy died in front of it. You know, like it's crazy what COVID has done and what they're trying to power through to get this done. But there's that. And then this morning also, Marc Bergevin did a press conference to close out the season. And it looks like Shea Weber's done. He's going to be retiring or on long-term injured reserve, unlikely to ever play again. His career's over. He mentioned that Weber has had trouble getting up in the mornings to just get ready for practice. The pain is that severe due to his cumulative injuries. It's extremely sad. Probably a Hall of Fame career for Shea Weber. Huge loss for the Montreal Canadiens, and just a really unfortunate end to a great career. And someone brought up to me on Twitter that, do you remember in Game 4 against the Lightning that he took that double minor high stick at the end of the game? If the Lightning scored there, would that not have been like the worst way to go out?
Yeah, the most tragic.
It would have been really unfortunate. So props to the Canadiens players for gutting that out in the only stretch that they really played the Lightning very well. And getting Weber a little bit more of a memorable end to his career. Hopefully he has a good retirement and his injuries can heal up enough for him to have, you know, all mobility in his later life, because this is like a reality that we don't talk about with professional athletes a lot, is that it takes a toll on your body that is hard to understand if you're not an athlete. And fortunately for Weber, he was compensated very well for his career. And there are things that he can do with that money that can help him out throughout the rest of his life. I hope that we get to a place that women athletes get similar levels of compensation, because they are dealing with the same things and they sacrifice just as much, if not more. And not to mention athletes of other sports that maybe aren't as high rating as the four major sports in North America. But yeah, it's an unfortunate end. I just wanted to say a little bit of something about that before we get into the trades. But obviously, Mary, we got to talk about Shane Gostisbehere. It looks like the return is in from Elliot Friedman.
That's actually incorrect.
It's incorrect? Okay, it's been corrected.
Well, the return he said was that it was a second and a seventh. The Flyers are sending a second and a seventh. It's not. It's the other way around. The Flyers are getting nothing but cap relief in return, I assume. Or so future considerations? Yeah, that's why I zoned, I zoned out a little bit while you were talking. And I do want to say about Shea Weber, I, like you said, hope the best for him. It is very upsetting that to hear that, you know, his daily life was impacted by these injuries. So, you know, I hope his future gets better. Definitely a Hall of Fame career for sure. And it does suck for the Canadians too, especially, you know, 3 wins away from the Stanley Cup. But got to take care of your body first and your health. So all the best to him. But yes, moving on to the trade, it seems that is Shane Gostisbehere, a second round pick and a seventh round pick in 2022. And I don't know what's in return, if anything at all.
Yeah, it says future considerations now. Pierre LeBrun says they got nothing back.
The biggest thing though is cap space. That is, I mean, I it would have been nice to get, you know, picks in return, but I think the biggest thing the Flyers need is cap space. So we'll see. I do think though that means, you know, players like Cam York are going to get their time to shine in Philly. They could also bring in another defenseman, but that means the Flyers lose $4.5 million in cap space. And I think I saw something that Voracek also asked for a trade too. So that could be even more cap space. So that is the big thing going on in Philadelphia right now. It is a bit confusing why they had to pay Arizona
that much for a good player.
Yeah. I mean, Ghost had a rebound season last year, but
he has his faults, but he's a good player, right? Like he's a guy you can insert in an NHL lineup on any night.
Yeah, but he kept getting moved around, and, you know, taken out of the lineup for no reason. And it almost like Nolan Patrick, it didn't feel like it was going to work here unless he, you know, really returned to like one of his first seasons in Philly where he was, you know, a standout player. But he did have a rebound last year. So it does hurt giving him up, but he was one of the players that I was kind of resigned to the Flyers losing. And Chuck Fletcher really seems to, you know, value cap space a lot. And Seattle not picking one of Ghost, JVR, or Voracek in the expansion draft hurt them in that they didn't get cap space away for free. So he really wants cap space this offseason to do what? I don't know, but he really, really values that. So that is how the Flyers deal is shaken out so far.
Yeah, and with the Voracek wanting a trade thing, the only request I have for that for all NHL teams is please, whoever acquires Voracek, be a market with a lot of microphones to put in front of him, because I love that man when he gets in front of a mic and he's a little bit pissed off. He is just so entertaining. He's great. So, yeah, the Flyers pay a big price to get rid of Ghost and a little bit of cap space. Highly questionable, depending on what they do with it, obviously. But not the questionable deal comparatively to what the Carolina Hurricanes just did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think, you know, that's, I think, you know, wanting cap space is a reasonable thing, but, you know, what the Hurricanes did in trading goaltender Nedeljkovic for really no reason when he was asking for apparently $3.5 million in an AAV. I don't understand what the Hurricanes are thinking here. Andrew, do you have any possible explanations, reasons why they traded him to Detroit? I don't know if there's a return on that, but...
No, he just agreed to a cheaper contract with Detroit, as according to his agent. 2 years, $3 million AAV. So, I don't know if this was about money.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have the return from Elliot Friedman. I had it in a tab open. I just
it
had
was
multiple
Jonathan
tabs
Bernier
open.
In a third
round. In a third, pick. Yeah, in a third. I would assume that the third, is it the third maybe this season, possibly?
I'm not sure, but I do wonder if, because I think if there's anything that the Carolina Hurricanes have really struggled to find over the time that they've started to act like a very intelligent organization, it's been consistent goaltending. And I wonder if they've looked at what Jonathan Bernier was able to do behind an absolutely atrocious team in Detroit over the last 3 years and thought that this is a guy who, if they can platoon him with Mrazek and the defensive structure that they have, can give them an honest chance at finally getting over the hump in the playoffs. But I think Bernier is also an unrestricted free agent, so it's really just trading for his rights, which is, you know, a pretty high price to pay in Nedeljkovic. I would have, if I were them, which I'm not, I probably would have gone with Nedeljkovic and tried to get Bernier anyway and moved on from Mrazek, who I think can play well at times, but is mostly a pretty mediocre goaltender. So it's a really confusing deal to me. I don't understand what they're trying to do. Yeah, all of their goaltenders are unrestricted free agents. Mrazek is, Bernier is, James Reimer is. So right now there is potentially zero answers whatsoever for the Carolina Hurricanes in goal. I don't understand it.
Yeah, and Mrazek is, I mean, he's fine, but he's not that good.
Well, I think he's a guy that, like, he can give you a fantastic performance, but game to game, you don't know what you're getting. And I think that's the worst kind of goaltender.
I remember his time with the Flyers being like he couldn't move, like he couldn't turn one way or the other. It was just a confusing mess when he was on the Flyers for that brief amount of time. So I really only know him from that, but he was not very, very good with the Flyers. I mean, I know kind of Philadelphia is kind of a black hole in terms of goaltending. But yeah, I'm not really sure why they didn't, like you said, move on from Mrazek and sign Nedeljkovic and use him as the goaltender of the future there. I really don't understand. And it's weird because Carolina has a very good front office situation. And it just seems a very out of character move for them.
Yeah, it is. It's very odd. And I think the other thing, because there hasn't been too many deals that have come out so far. One of the things that I wonder is, like, I think that the Coyotes have done well in terms of getting assets for doing favors for the Islanders and now the Flyers. But are we ever going to get to a point where the Coyotes are not this team anymore? Where they're just taking on salary to get to the cap floor and doing other teams favors, and like their own team is just a bit of a joke?
Yeah, it really felt like for a little bit that they had something going. But then they lost it again, and then, like you said, took on a lot of bad contracts and are really don't do much to progress their team outside of just, you know, getting to the cap floor and, you know, staying cap compliant and being people's dumping grounds for contracts they don't want.
They're like the NHL's pantry. You're just storing things over there until someone else wants to use it.
Or put things in long-term injured reserve, too.
Exactly. Like Marian Hossa's still technically a Coyote, right?
I think so. I'm not really sure. That like we said, there's a lot going on right now with this episode. It is one of those very strange episodes where we're kind of breaking news on the podcast on the fly, because we were like, we're not going to put anything for this first segment. We don't need to. There's going to be news, and
we're going to wing it.
Yeah, we're winging it. So this is what it looks like when we're winging it. So hopefully we're doing a good job. But that really seems to be like the major trades. It's very possible as soon as we exit the segment, something else is going to happen. But it really has been a very busy couple of days in the NHL between, you know, the roster freeze and, you know, trades happening before then. And then, you know, Seattle with the expansion draft and, you know, not making any trades of their own. And they still haven't, at least to my knowledge, have not made any trades since the freeze happened, the unfroze. So yeah, it's really interesting stuff, and it's only going to get crazier because, like you said, the regular draft is Friday, and that usually has a lot of movement too. So
yeah, I mean, it's just a full week of craziness, and like by the time we're doing our Thursday podcast next week, it'll be a day after free agency opens. So there's so much to talk about. It's like, it's unbelievable how much work we have laid out in front of us. I'm not even sure, like, I I'm hesitant to wrap up our segment because I don't know what's going to break right after.
Well, we do,
we
do have to wrap it up because we do have to get to our very special guest.
Yes, this is true.
And our very wonderful interview. And you guys are going to hear from Erica Isla, and she's fantastic. It was a real treat to have her on the podcast. So Andrew, since you're hosting this, you can be the one to, you know, get us through to the interview. But I guess we should wrap it up because we really should get you guys to that interview.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to enjoy this. I mean, I know Erica mentioned Sue Bird, and I will say that she is the next Sue Bird in Seattle, a New York transplant who's going to be a Seattle superstar. So we're really excited to chat with Erica. That's going to come up right after this. If you just watch the Kraken's expansion draft, you might want to maybe place some bets on them. Well, the Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Do you think that the Seattle Kraken are going to make the playoffs next year? Did you think the Vegas Golden Knights would and you were hesitant to place a bet? Maybe check the odds and put a small amount of money on that and see if you win big. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on. Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. We are here with a special guest, the host of Locked On Kraken, to break down the Seattle Kraken expansion draft, Erica Ayala. How are you, Erica?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling pretty energized despite a pretty brutal schedule that has obviously impacted my sleep coming from the East Coast, touching down hours before the expansion draft. But you know what? It was totally worth it. And I'm glad to be chatting with you both today.
Yeah, going from the East Coast to the West Coast is tough when you have to work at the same time. And it's a bit of a shakeup to the system. But obviously, you've been all over the place. You've been, all over social media. You've been killing it with Locked On Kraken content. This has been quite the exciting stretch here. We've got the actual entry draft around the corner, and the Kraken have the second overall pick, which is, again, extremely exciting. That franchise is... It's just everything is possibility right now, right? But what was the atmosphere at the expansion draft? Like, it looked like it was pretty hyped up on TV, but being there, how were the people in the crowd there?
Oh, it was very exciting. So I got there a couple hours before everything started to air on ESPN, I guess in Canada as well. And the excitement was palpable. And what was so cool is that there were also fans out on the water, almost like, you know, you're at a San Francisco Giants game or something like that. And when we would go to interview the players that were there live, which I'm sure we'll talk about, some of the fans were just saying, "Welcome to Seattle." They were asking questions, interacting with the players. It was just really exciting. And that's despite, obviously, some of the controversy leading up to the expansion draft, which is, a lot of people being of a different opinion on all of the leaks of the roster. But despite that, it was just really exciting. It was great weather, great vibes, and a really great way to have something concrete. I believe that's what Dave Haxtell, was saying, that this is something concrete, you know, for the fans.
Yeah, yeah. It's something to actually like look at and build together and try to like you go through and like try to build lines, which is always like the off season thing, right? Line combinations and defense pairings. And I find that is always something to key on. I think like you mentioned before that basically Frank Saravalli ruined everybody's party, right? Like he was insider extraordinaire on Wednesday. I don't know how he did it, where he left TSN and now all of a sudden he's like the number one insider in the world, but he just spilled everybody's milk. I think it was every single pick was leaked before the actual event, which led a lot of people, including myself, to say that the broadcast like left a little bit to be desired, right? Because the excitement is supposed to come from the picks themselves and there was no surprises. But where did you sit on that? Were you thinking they kind of spoiled the party, or was it just kind of like it made it more relaxing during the actual event.
You know, it's tough. I think at first I was like, oh, that's such a bummer, just because the Seattle Kraken especially were known for being very tight-lipped about everything. I mean, there were no leaks. I'm someone who, as a freelancer, worked with the Seattle Kraken when they released the Kraken name, and they didn't even give me any information. They're like, all right, this is going to be exciting. We need you to do this, 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 and this, and this. And they would not give me any information about what the actual name was, just all of the ways to react to what the name was. So this is an organization that has really been tight-lipped. I know that some people were saying that because of having to hand in the roster to ESPN and obviously the NHL, the day of the draft, maybe there was just a little bit too much padding time where some of those leaks were bound to happen. So on the one hand, it's like, yeah, it was an event. It's an organization that's so used to being able to keep things in-house. But on the other side, as a journalist, as someone who really can use information and you kind of want to get that information out, you understand if you have good sources, you can back them up and you can get some information out first. With the advent of social media the way it is, I mean, that's good reporting. So you can't really knock it.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same. It did kind of spoil a little bit for me, but I did very much enjoy the broadcast as a whole, just because it was really awesome seeing, you know, the fans, the atmosphere. I'm really pumped to see what like Seattle brings as a hockey market. I mean, we've seen like their, you know, just general hockey, but bringing their NHL game here. It was really fantastic to see. And obviously the vistas were gorgeous, all the people in the water and just the nice weather. It really spoke a lot to me about what I'm expecting from, you know, the Kraken and their fans this upcoming year. But I guess speaking on something of like the fan experience, do you know why they throw fish? Why was that a big thing? Why did JT Brown catch a fish? Can you please explain that to me as somebody who is not a Seattle person? Maybe you have a little bit more insight here.
Sure. So I'm not from Seattle, but I know of Seattle, and, you know, I'm old enough to know and remember, you know, the real world Seattle when I was growing up as a kid, still watching MTV. So there's, you know, I think it's called Pike Market, and Seattle's a fish town. There's so many bodies of water, so lots of fish and great seafood. So when you go down to that market, that's kind of a thing. You toss the fish. So so that's where that comes from. And it's interesting because I'm catching some of what actually happened on the broadcast, you know, as I've been finishing my reporting, because when you're there live as a reporter, there's so many things. We're buzzing around. I only heard Sue Bird, you know, Seattle legend by way of New York, just so everyone is clear. But, you know, I only heard her. I didn't get to see her presentation and different things like that. But yes, that's where the fish thing comes from. So it's not, I guess, you know, like a... it's not like a Preds catfish thing. It's a Seattle thing that was in place well before NHL Seattle, which we now know as the Seattle Kraken.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I love that they're bringing the local flavor to it. And I think that was my favorite part of the broadcast in general. They had like the cuts to Kevin Weeks in the different areas of Seattle. And I saw some people criticizing that it's like a tourism commercial, but it's like, no, it is, but it isn't, because it's also getting people who haven't been to Seattle or haven't spent a lot of time there around the NHL who are watching this broadcast, helping them get to know Seattle. And I thought that was a very good choice by the Seattle Kraken. But speaking of choices, this team made a lot of them, 30, in fact, yesterday. What was your impression of the roster that they chose? And did you get a sense of what they're trying to build here, what they expect in the short term?
Sure. So my first reaction is I have seen so many different drafts, you know, and experts and people just having fun. That was my least favorite part of covering the Seattle Kraken. I have been having a blast, but I you know, joke about, you know, just not being a great couch GM. So I don't know how people did it. It seems like so much work. But I think there were, and again, with the leaks, we kind of had a few hours to prepare for this, but there were some surprises. And I think overall, my summary is that people learned, and Ron Francis talked about this, but a lot of teams and GMs learned from the mistakes that they feel they made in Las Vegas. I think Ron joked with us in media saying, you know, he'd get on the phone and call a team. And the guy's like, listen, if I make the same mistake I made with the Golden Knights, I don't have a job. So like, you know, let's figure this out in a way that's not going to get me fired, you know? So that's what the Seattle Kraken were up against. As far as what Ron Francis in particular is looking for, him and his scouting team, character. And this is something that they have been pretty consistent with, but they're looking for good character. Also, Ron talked a lot about, and Ryan S. Clark has a great piece on this, but wanting to have some flexibility with that salary cap on the back end of the expansion draft for free agency. And so there's some money that the Kraken have to work with. Also, Ron and Dave said that they expect camp to be competitive. So while this is the roster for now, this is the first group of 30 plus whatever we get in the entry draft that the Seattle Kraken have to work with. I did not get the impression that Ron nor Dave was married to this idea. There are some players obviously that are protected and that they will retain, but they're still tinkering and there's a lot of work to do for this Seattle team. And I think they're excited by that.
Yeah. I find it really interesting that, you know, Seattle and Vegas took two very different approaches. I think a lot of hockey fans kind of got spoiled by what Vegas did and it working immediately and them getting to the Stanley Cup final in their first year. I never thought that Seattle was going to have the same, I guess not spark, but the same trajectory, because it seemed that they were going to build very different things. And I know a lot of the disappointment probably stemmed from the fact that there were no trades made as like side deals where, you know, Vegas had 10, I believe. So I know that was probably a lot of people's disappointment, but I guess, do you have like a biggest surprise player that you're surprised that Seattle took on that, like, you just weren't expecting at all?
Again, no, I wouldn't say for me, I wasn't really going in with too much in my head as far as even penciled in, just because I got the sense from Seattle that they were going to be innovative in maybe some different ways than we saw from the Golden Knights. I think obviously the Carey Price and the goaltending situation stands out. But when I think when you look at what Seattle did here, you know, going after a unrestricted free agent and Driga, you know, they want to build similarly to their selection with Dave Haxtell, right? They want to build with someone that has experience, but that they can mold and build into the goaltender that Seattle wants, and not someone that necessarily is arguably set in their ways coming from a different system. So do you get, you know, the A number one, the name that everyone even outside of NHL circles knows? Maybe not. But I think Seattle is confident in the staff that they have that will work with their players, again, to build up to what the Seattle brand of hockey is going to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it really is funny that you mentioned the Carey Price thing, because Andrew and I had a really big back and forth on the last podcast about it, because I was like, there's no way. I don't even think it's a good idea. But Andrew was convinced that it might be a good idea. But I do think that the goaltending system they have, I mean, taking, you know, on Driga is kind of a risk, considering he only has 30 some NHL games played, but I think it could work out. I mean, like I said, it really seems that they're building a different type of team here. They're in it for the long haul, which I respect. And I mean, yeah, we saw how it worked in Vegas, and, you know, they got hot immediately, and that really worked well for their brand recognition. But it seems as if Seattle's taking the more long game slow approach. So there really is no other player that you have your like eye on and were like, you wanted this player? It wasn't a Carey Price, it wasn't a Vladimir Tarasenko, no Gabriel Landeskogs for you?
No, again, not really. And I think also I would say the advantage that, because I cover hockey more at the big picture international or women's hockey level, I am coming in with fresh and new eyes to the National Hockey League. So some of the, you know, I'm not married to any particular player or a particular system. So again, I was like, give me what you got in the expansion draft and we'll go from there. But again, I get the sense, and it was reiterated that the Seattle Kraken, everything for them is about character. So what that tells me is, are they looking to be a hot team right out the gate? Probably not. Will they take it? Of course. Who wouldn't, right? Who wouldn't take that? But everything from the expansion draft, who they've selected as a head coach, and then going into tomorrow, the first day of the entry draft, is about character. It's about getting young talent that they can mold and fit. And Ron Francis is a force. And the Seattle Kraken staff that he has built, they have the potential to be extremely innovative. And I think from starting from yesterday, that's the launch pad to, again, the type of hockey that we will see for Seattle. So I was like, again, I'm not the couch expert here, but I will now be picking apart once we get into training camp, once we see what moves, because I do think that there will be some moves again on the back end of the expansion draft as free agency kind of opens up. Once we get a better sense from the team, especially looking at veteran presence, I'm really curious to see what they're going to build as far as a leadership core in Seattle. Then that's when I will have some spicy hot takes on Locked on Kraken.
Oh, I love it. But I think the Kraken have built up a lot of goodwill already just from their name and branding, because they've knocked it out of the park. I mean, absolutely.
Their jerseys are beautiful.
They're so gorgeous. Yes, I'm so glad. I mean, I've been on the Seattle Kraken name train for a very long time, and I'm so glad that they did not disappoint me. And just the brand, I have a hat of the Kraken logo. They're my second favorite team now, because they're not going to interfere with the Flyers much, because, you know, they're out west and the Flyers are out east. And it's just like, the branding is perfect. I really think that they knocked it out of the park here with this.
And that's where they're head and shoulders above anything in the National Hockey League, I have to be honest. And this, again, is someone coming in with fresh and new eyes, specifically to the National Hockey League. The Seattle Kraken are creating excitement. They're creating a buzz that has, you know, surpassed just people in the NHL and even the hockey circle. I cover a lot of other sports as well, and people are excited. People know, oh yeah, that's the Seattle Kraken. Like, don't know a dang thing about hockey, but yeah, I love that logo. Look at that video. And they're doing that in a way that is building on the potential for hockey to tap into kind of a mainstream pop culture market, but also with a certain level of, I kind of want to use the word integrity, which we could spend a whole nother podcast maybe dialing into why I picked that name or that word, but really doing it doing it in an intentional way, getting people who are from the area involved, getting people who represent, you know, quote unquote, non-traditional hockey markets to talk about hockey, to say, hey, listen, just because we're not tapped to do videos or we're not asked about hockey doesn't mean we're not all in. We're excited. We want to be here. And now we have a team that is embracing us and is welcoming us and is involving us. And so that for me is extremely exciting. And again, somewhere where I think the Seattle Kraken are head and shoulders above everyone else. And it makes it fun. It makes it fresh and it makes it cool. And when you can do that in sports, you're gonna really win over a fan base, and you're gonna be a part of a conversation. Now the test will be if Ron Francis and Dave Haxtell can tap into that goodwill and get a competitive team on the ice. And how long will it take before they're really in serious playoff contention and looking to bring another Stanley Cup to Seattle, now under the Kraken name?
Awesome. We're going to dive into a bit more of the on-ice stuff and the expectations and when they're going to be competitive, along with some of the fun stuff that Erica was bringing up, including the different philosophy I think the Kraken have taken to building their front office and the way that they're looking at building their hockey team. In a minute, we're going to take a short break here, and then we'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning about your vehicle and wait while the person behind the counter orders only the parts from their computer that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money using Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store that treats you differently if you are a do-it-yourselfer as opposed to a professional mechanic? Rock Auto is a family business. serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And their prices are reliably low for all customers. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, so the Kraken are going into next season. We obviously don't know what the actual roster is going to look like, right? Because they haven't made the side deals that were available to Vegas when they came in. But we know from Vegas that the draft doesn't determine what you're going to look like in September or October. There's lots of time left. There's going to be some big moves. There's going to be a draft. We don't know. But looking at this roster, I was looking at, like, analytically, what did they identify as their, like, weakness that they could pilfer from other teams? And it looks like they drafted very concisely for defensive play and size as well, which was a little bit surprising because that's kind of not the way that the NHL has trended. But a lot of the guys that they picked are big and also really good defensively. And I guess they're probably hoping for some of those guys to unlock, like, the William Karlsson never seen it before offense, you know, like, came out of nowhere. But I look at the way the Kraken are constructed, and even if nothing changes, I think most teams are going to walk into Seattle and it's going to be a nightmare to play against them. They might not be the offensive powerhouses that Vegas were right off the bat, barring any changes that could happen between now and training camp, but they look like they're going to be very difficult to play against.
Yeah, I like that you said that. Looking at size, looking at even the type of player, maybe not super flashy, but effective and efficient. And in the game of hockey, I think that's an underappreciated skill. I also happen to love defense, so I'm always looking for that type of player that when they're quiet, when you're not calling their name, that's when they're at their best. What that does mean, though, is to your point about holes or maybe places where we might see in the entry draft or even in free agency or trades down the road, I do think people like scoring, right? People like sexy goals, exciting things, you know, a player totally dominating, you know, driving through all three zones and scoring on a goalie, you know, just undressing them. I don't know where that comes from right now with this particular roster. And I think that's okay for now. Again, I get the sense that Seattle really wants to establish character and culture, but eventually getting players that can be effective and efficient in the offensive zone is going to be critical. As much as I love defense, and that's how you can secure games, in order to win, you got to score. So I'll be very interested to see what the Kraken team looks like in the next year or two regarding that. And does that come from young talent? Does that come from players coming from elsewhere? But for me, I agree with you. Love that it's a defensive-minded team. Not surprising, given what we know about Ron Francis prior to being with the Kraken and everything that he's been saying leading up to the expansion draft. But I think if there's a question, again, not knowing how this team is going to look together on the, what is it going to look like offensively is a great one to ask.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, and
Sorry, go ahead, Mary.
Yeah. I think it works defensively. Like this style works defensively too, because Dave Haxtell did really well, I think, in Toronto in increasing the Maple Leafs, like, defense and making them play better. Coach. So I think that it's playing into that style perfectly. Like you said, the offense needs to come from somewhere. But I don't know if we'll get into this later, but they are going to be in the Pacific Division. And the Pacific Division isn't that hot right
That's
now.
Fair.
So maybe there is a way for Seattle maybe to pick up just a couple of players that are maybe not bona fide stars, but, you know, can produce that offense for them. And maybe they have a shot at the playoffs. I don't want to go too far into expectations, but do you have expectations like that right out of the gate, or is it more, you know, subdued, take your time, get some guys type of thing? Is that kind of what you're expecting them to do this year?
I'm leaning toward the latter. I think what I've been saying is I don't get the sense. I think the Seattle Kraken has let go of being in the finals year one. That being said, they're not giving up, you know, and looking to, you know, have a top, you know, draft pick because they totally bombed. I think that Seattle, the competition that they're playing right now is, you know, stereotypically what you hear in sport, but it's true. Their biggest competition is themselves, is creating that identity. And I get the sense that they want to be competitive, and they're going to do that again in ways that are relying on analytics, that relying on innovation in ways that we haven't seen in hockey before. So that gives you a little bit of time to figure that out. But I don't think that they're just going to, you know, be like, well, man, no, we have a 10-year plan to get to the playoffs. No, that's not the case. So I think it's a little bit of a give and take. It's a little bit of a, you know, maybe hurry up and wait is kind of the best way to describe it. But I get the sense that the Seattle Kraken do have a plan on how to be competitive, and they're going to stick to that plan, even if we as outsiders don't necessarily see the full vision. I really get the sense that they have a clear picture of what they want, that they're going to meet the metrics along the way. And if they don't, that they'll make changes.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that the approach, I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise that the Seattle Kraken are going to approach things differently than what we've seen from both Vegas and other teams in general, because I think we can be honest here and say that the Seattle Kraken have built a different management style than other teams have. There are more women involved in their front office than I believe any other team has. I think the only other team that's even close might be the Maple Leafs. They have a much more inclusive hiring practice in terms of the ethnicity of people that they've hired. I know, like, familiar to Philadelphia people as well, Mary, Namita Nandakumar is a big part of their analytics program. So like, it makes sense with them. And I know that, Erica, you've worked with Black Girl Hockey several times before. I would assume that Seattle has something cooking with them as well, right?
Yeah, they've already done some activations with Black Girl Hockey Club. They did a merch line. I call them beanies. I know there's a lot of controversy as to what, you know, a knitted hat is called that goes over your head. But, you know, they did an activation there. And again, they've been very innovative and kind of like almost like Nike level selective with their merch. But they really are focused local. But they've partnered with Black Girl Hockey Club. They've partnered with a lot of other organizations within the Seattle area. So they are really bringing to light some of the great work, again, that has already existed prior to the Seattle Kraken and elevating now that platform, which I think is a fantastic model in and of itself. I come from that background, nonprofit, you know, really leadership development. So I think that they have that working for them. What I will also say is that the Seattle Kraken want to be competitive, but they also know what they don't know and are willing to get people to help them in the places where they feel that they want to grow and develop. And so whether that's Black Girl Hockey Club, whether that's Chanel Keenan, who was one of the special guests, she's the intersectionality consultant, one of the intersectionality consultants for the Kraken, and they've involved her in a lot of different things, as you mentioned, tapping into women's hockey. And that's honestly what got me to the NHL. I had no interest. I know of the NHL. I can name, you know, a player or two prior to the work that I did with, again, first NHL Seattle and now the Seattle Kraken. But seeing that there's a different way possible to cover the National Hockey League, to include women and other marginalized communities, people of color, and do it in a way that doesn't feel just like performative. Yeah. That's what intrigued me. And that's what kept me, just as a fan and as a journalist, following the Seattle Kraken. And so when the opportunity came to speak about the Seattle Kraken as a team, I was all in. And that's, I think, even me going through that experience, again, as a journalist, but as a fan of hockey, I think that's really what the Seattle Kraken is really trying to cultivate. And I hope that the National Hockey League is taking notes.
Yeah, absolutely. And big shout outs to the Black Girl Hockey Club. I supported them in the past. I have a couple of stickers of them on my laptop that they sent me for being a supporter. So big shout outs to them. They're fantastic. And it really warms my heart to see, you know, people getting into hockey because of it and because of all the work that Seattle's been doing to, you know, have a more inclusive front office. But you're right. I hope that the NHL takes notes, because Andrew and I talked about this on the last podcast with Luke Prokop coming out as gay, that, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, but it's great seeing these steps.
Exactly. Couldn't agree more. You know, it's like, yeah, we'll celebrate this, but we know there's a lot of work to be done. You know, I liken it to being an athlete. You are excited to win a game, but if you stay stuck on the win, you're not going to get many more. So that's what I hope happens at the National Hockey League level.
Yeah, you can see like the seeds being planted of things moving in the right direction. And you just have to like hope and keep working that things keep moving at the same, or a much better pace, I'll say, not just the same pace. I think this is possibly one of the most exciting things about the way that Seattle has entered the league is like to get you involved, Erica. Obviously, like that speaks volumes that you had no interest before. And now you want to actually cover a team professionally. Like that is incredible to me. And that tells me that Seattle within a couple of years has the potential to be like one of the most popular teams in the league, to have a lot of dedicated followers outside of Seattle because they're a welcoming environment that enthusiastically wants everyone, you know, like that is awesome. And it makes me so excited to get more onto the hockey side. Before we let you go, are there any trades that you expect to happen today with Seattle? I'm assuming there's going to be at least a couple because they've been hinted by insiders, but is there anyone in particular you expect to be moved?
Again, you know, that is not my gift, but I have been looking at some of what, you know, the projected or alleged waiver wire is going to look like. I think, again, Ron Francis, he didn't say names particularly, but the way he was talking, it's going to be no surprise that there are some things that want to get moved around here. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I think some of the forwards looking to see what they can get there as far as really getting the type of scoring personality and player and style that they want. So I'm looking definitely at the forwards as far as what they can move there, get a little bit closer to where they want to be. I wonder how much they have in the back of their mind that they have the entry draft, because character, because culture and fit seems to be so important for the Seattle Kraken. I wonder if maybe they settle into the entry draft and then go from there. But yeah, again, I'm not big on making bold predictions. I also joke around, although it's really not a joke. I also don't like being wrong. So I don't like making predictions because
Okay.
Keep the cards close to your chest.
I'm not going out like that.
Oh, I'm glad that you're that way, because I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'll say it, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll own it. Because just why not? Who cares? It's sports. I'm not going to get too mad about it.
I'm going to take some of that courage you got. I'm going to need it.
Yeah. But it seems like there's nothing, at least from Seattle's point of view, nothing has happened while we've been recording, because we've been recording right after the trade freeze expired. So nothing that I've seen from Seattle, a few other interesting moves that I'm sure Andrew and I will talk about, but nothing at least so far from Seattle. So a little bit quiet, but I don't think it's gonna stay that way for long.
Yeah, I'm sure we're gonna have to have you back on here. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're gonna have to have you back on here in not that long from now, Erica, because Seattle's gonna make a lot of moves heading into the next season here. Thank you so much for coming on and making time for us during what must be an incredibly busy time for you. We really appreciate it. And everyone, please go and follow Locked On Kraken. Follow Erica on Twitter. I think it's eLindsay, right? Or is it eLindsay08?
Yep, eLindsay08. You got it.
eLindsay08 on Twitter. Locked On Kraken, wherever you find your podcasts, and on Twitter. Thank you so much. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard us talking about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that it has 9 delicious flavors? Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's literally something for everyone, no matter your tastes. And if you're adventurous or you don't know what you'd like, try a mixed box. You'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Each protein bar, or each Built Bar is a protein bar, is covered in delicious chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they all have between 17 and 18 grams of protein, only 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and just 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right. That was an awesome interview with Erica. I truly believe she's going to be a huge hit in Seattle. And I think her point that she was not super interested in the NHL at all before the Seattle Kraken caught her attention by the way that they do things is such an exciting idea. I think that is going to change a lot around the league. So, Mary, what have you been up to pop culture-wise? I know I've gotten little because I spent the last week out camping, right? So the only thing that I did before we went camping was I showed my parents Ted Lasso. And we've talked about Ted Lasso on the podcast before. The second season is debuting this Friday, which I am absolutely going to watch the first episode before the expansion draft or before the entry draft. Can you guess how my parents took Ted Lasso? I mean, everybody who's ever seen it loves it, right? They absolutely loved it. My dad was floored by how good it was. I was like, trust me, the premise sounds stupid, but it's amazing. And it was incredibly enjoyable to watch a second time.
Yeah, it's really funny that you mentioned that because I think I saw something today that PlayStation 5 owners will be able to get like 6 months of Apple TV Plus or whatever for free. So maybe I'll be able to watch it because I have a PlayStation 5. And I don't know what I have to do to get that offer, but it really does intrigue me because I've heard so much about Ted Lasso from, you know, you and other people on the internet. So that's it. That's something I'm looking into for sure, because I am intrigued and I've heard great things. And it is, from what it's like sports, right? It's kind of like, it's
okay. I don't really know the premise is that much. There is a football team in London and the owner of the team has just gotten divorced and his wife has gotten the team in the settlement because he was cheating on her, and she knew that the team was the only thing in the world that he actually loved. So she was like, I want that. And she's very vindictive. And her idea is that she's going to destroy this team from the inside out just to hurt him. And her idea is there's this coach that's going viral in the United States because his first year coaching, he took like a really run-of-the-mill NCAA Division II team to the championship. And they won. And so she's like, I'm going to hire him because, you know, I'll pretend football, right? And so he's an American football coach, goes over there to coach soccer. And you think this is going to be an absolute disaster. But he is so endearing. And every single character in the entire series is so layered that by the end of it, you fall in love with everyone. It's one of the most uplifting and happy shows I've ever watched. And it was one of the shows, like, I think I must have talked about it with Laura when she was guest hosting when you were on vacation, because I remember talking about this on the podcast before. But it is literally the perfect pandemic show, because I think it is so uplifting that it probably brought some people out of depression. Like, it's that good and that endearing. And I think it has a lot of lessons for a coaching. Like, there are actually professional classes already that are teaching like the lessons of Ted Lasso, which is super interesting.
That's really cool. It's definitely something I'm going to have to look into then. Definitely after all of this hockey craziness, though. I mean, the only thing I've been doing is I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 and MMO, which I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about on my Twitter, with my friends. And it's been really fun because I had played that game for a little bit on my own. I mean, it's weird to hear that you can play an MMO solo, but it's a type of game where it's like story first, so you can, you know, run through the game and then party up with people for like advancing the story with like dungeons and boss fights and stuff. So before I had played it on my own, just partying up just with random people through their like system to do so. But now I have friends to play it with, and it's been a lot of fun. It really has been. So it's, you know, really upped my enjoyment of the game. I'm getting back to the point in the story where I had stepped away for some time and made a separate character. So I've just been really enjoying my time with it. It's been hard to play because of all the hockey stuff. It's just been madness everywhere we look. So hopefully I'll be able to get to return to playing with my friends shortly, because I really want to catch up to them in the story, and then we can, you know, all see the story together playing it at the same time. So I think that'll be really fun. It's been fun. It's nice to hang out with my friends and make new ones too through this experience. So, but yeah, that is what has been going on with me. Maybe next Tuesday we'll have something else, because it has been crazy trying to, you know, find something to do or watch in pop culture with everything hockey related happening right now. It's a lot of my focus has been towards putting out content.
Yeah, I 100% understand that. And it's, it's been a crazy time, but I think that's probably all we have for you today on the Crosscheck NHL show. And thanks so much for being here with us. We're very excited for the NHL entry draft. Obviously, Locked On is hosting the NHL draft show live streamed on Twitch, YouTube, all over the place. So check that out. I'm hosting with Michael DiStefano. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have local hosts from around the Locked On network to talk about who their teams picked and do some instant analysis. It's going to be a ton of fun. So please go check that out. You can check my Twitter for all the information. You can check, you know, pretty much any Locked On host is going to be tweeting out the graphic that includes all the information on where to find it. So please join us 7:45 Eastern time, right before the draft. We're going to do a little bit of pregame and throughout the draft. It's going to be a lot of fun. And make sure you follow this podcast. If you really like it, maybe give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Tell us that we're doing a good job, or maybe tell me that we're not. I don't know. Have some fun with us. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time. But before we let you go, I got to tell you about one more thing, and that's Locked On Bets. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.